Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Yisrael with another edition of the Yehuda Project. One moment, I'm going to play a song for you because we're waiting on a few people to get on the line. Thank you very much, and we're glad that you're here. Here we go.
The South's favorite mixtape supplier, DJ At Low, is in the building.
Sitting here, guess I didn't make bail. Got time and a story to tell. Started when I was 9 years old. Woke up and daddy was gone. I started hustling and they couldn't tell me nothing. Running in the hood trying to be somebody. My soul was on empty. I was searching for something. Tried to be good. Try to keep from trouble. Living too fast. Trying to make good on a hustle. Sometimes it get rough.
Coming from where I'm from.
Times got hard. Wasn't really looking, guess I found it. 5'3", like brown skin. Coming from the university. Nighttime, looking kinda lovely. Didn't know she had much game. Down the ride out, even take the train. Even took her to a poker game. Top notch, fried chicken and sushi. Try to be good. Try to treat you like a lady. Tried to be your friend. Turned out that you were shady. It's time to get lonely.
Coming from where I'm from.
Things ain't what they seem to be.
Coming from where I'm from.
Time to get a little angry.
Coming from where I'm from.
Time to get the best of me.
Lois in the building.
Coming from where I'm from.
The time you got them on.
Coming from where I'm from.
Sometimes you gotta cry a little bit louder.
Coming from where I'm from.
Sometimes you gotta fight the pain, yeah.
Shalom, shalom, everybody. It's another edition of the Yehuda Project. This is Yaina Yisrael, your co-host. We're glad to be here today. We are waiting for some people to call in, and we're looking forward to a conversation. And if you were a part of the show last week, we had a really good show. and we want everybody to engage in the show that we're going to have today. We have a new guest that we have invited on the show today, and a very important person. I met him about 3 days ago, and we're waiting for him to show up, and he's going to help us to take this to a whole nother level. So I'm waiting on Brother Adonijah to call in, and my other brother that was calling in about, yeah, we need you. There we go. All right, here we go. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, Sister Donia.
Shalom, shalom, Brother Donia. How are you today?
Oh, I ain't too good. My blood sugar's down. But I'm all right. I guess I'll make it through. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I don't have no complaints. I'm not going to complain anyway. I mean, it ain't going to do no good. Yep, so.
Yeah.
So what you doing? You taking something for you? Ate you a candy bar or something?
I fixed me something to eat. That's probably what it is. I didn't eat nothing this afternoon.
Oh, yeah, you got to be careful with that sugar. That sugar is dangerous and not anything to play with. But, I just wanted to talk today. You know, I wanted to talk to you about some things. I'm waiting on a special guest to call in on the show. I met a man this week that he said he was going to call in. He's a consultant, I think, what he does for sports commentators. So he worked very closely with some very high-profile sports commentators, sports players. He's very familiar with a lot of powerful people. So I just wanted to make a disclaimer today. When he comes on the show today, he does not know anything about the Hebrew-Israelite movement. He does not know anything about what we stand for in terms of being a Hebrew-Israelite. We didn't have a chance to go into all of that because of the way that we met. I don't want anybody, and we have quite a few people on this line, I don't want anybody to use this as an opportunity to do a commercial, an advertisement, to give out an email address or a website. This is strictly, we are going to have somebody that's going to come on this show that knows absolutely nothing about what we stand for and who we are. So this is good training for us, because when you have somebody that does not absolutely know anything, you have to be careful with what you say.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, you know, they're going to, we don't want to confuse them, and we don't want them to.
What does he ascribe to be? Christian, Muslim, what?
We didn't get that far. I didn't ask. We were talking more from a business standpoint. Mm. And, you know, I came at him from a business standpoint. He's in radio already, so, you know, I was more or less leaning toward him mentoring us through the show to a whole nother level to be able to take this show to a national level. So I really haven't, you know, we haven't gone into anything concerning ethnicity, culture, or anything.
Oh, okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure that, that's a good thing. You know, we're trying to broaden your horizons. That's great.
Yeah. We got to reach some more people. We have to reach... I've come to the conclusion that, you know, I love everybody that's committed, that comes on the show every week, that commits to coming to the show every week. But we're going to have to, the Most High is, I won't say we're going to have to. He is opening up doors and opportunities for us to meet everybody, different people on different levels, because everybody's Hebrew Israelite that's a part of the transatlantic slave trade that we know of. And we can't just limit ourselves to the people who are already conscious because, you know, to me, their mind is already made up and they're already set as to how far they're going to go and who they're going to be connected to and what they're going to do. And this thing is way bigger than that. So I feel like, you know, that he's opening up doors for us to move into other arenas. And it's very important because in certain arenas, this is where the money flows from.
Yep.
And, you know, they may want to be, like your prison program, they may want to be a silent contributor, you know, because when you're talking about pro ball players and things, you're talking about millionaires that got money to be able to give you to do what you need to do to get started. And these are the things that other... What we need to do is time to branch out and go into other arenas.
Well, that's why I was saying regarding the program that I had I'm trying to set up. Is that we know that conscious Israelites, whether they got any money or not, they're going to be skeptical about doing anything because they've been burnt in so many ways.
Right, right.
But other celebrities, you understand, might just want to take a chance once they hear about what the program is about and see that what they can do here is that, you know, those things can they that's a tax exempt thing. They can get that off their taxes or whatever, you know, you understand? So I was looking at those kind of avenues, you understand, to try to get it set up. And if they want to take an active part in it, that's great too.
Exactly. And I want to make an announcement too. If you are the gentleman that I met, my name is Jaina Israel. We met on the phone. I gave you my phone number. If you are, please push number 1. We would love to have you on the show. This opens up the mic for you to be able to talk. Like I said, we have quite a few people on the line here, you know, and we are introducing ourselves as to who we are. This is the Yehuda Project, and we are affiliated with the Nation of Yehuda. And the main goal for our program is to enlighten our people as to who they are, to give us some hope, some understanding, and some love so that we can start repairing our people because our people are broken. You know, and our people have experienced some serious downfalls, and we have the solution, and we have the answers to why we're in the condition that we're in socially, economically, spiritually. So, again, Michael, I'm just going to call you by first name because I don't want a whole lot of people. This airs all over the world, so I don't want a lot of people in our conversation in terms of, you know, who you are and what you do and whatever. But if you are on the line, please feel free to push 1. I would love to introduce you to our people and our neighbors, on our show. And, again, for those who are on the show that are regulars, that are on the show, that are in the chat rooms, you know, if once the gentleman begins to talk, if he wants to talk about anything in particular, you know, we want you to be very considerate. We don't want anybody giving a commercial. We don't want anyone giving information about a website, anything. I mean, this is just us talking, you know, because I explained to him that I had my own radio show. You know, I didn't get into any details, and he promised me that he would be calling on the show. So we're excited today, you know, because it's time for us to move this to another level. We have to take this in the direction of business. I mean, when you talk about marketing and when you talk about business administration, when you talk about international commerce and economics, like we're talking about gathering monies to be able to do what we need to do and move in the arenas that we need to move in, we have to have people that would be willing to support what we're doing, if no more mentor us in a direction of how we can start doing different things to collect monies and get different people to sponsor us, you know, because we know that the people that are on the outside are not going to be willing to help us in the endeavor that we're doing because of who we are and who we claim to be. It is a direct conflict in terms of what we believe and corporate America. So, you know, corporate commercial America. So, you know, we have to take those talents. Like I said, most of us have been to college. Most of us have college degrees. We have to that we have and apply those talents to where we are so that we can get the job of the Most High done. So, you know, someone asked me, you know, well, did you get any further in talking to him? Did you tell him anything? I didn't tell him anything. I just told him we had a radio show, you know, and I invited him to come on the show, and he said that he would. So, again, Michael, if you are on the show, this is me, the young lady that you met the last week, and this is my show, and I would love for you to push 1, and we'd love to have you on the show. So, and you have anything in particular that you would like to discuss in terms of current affairs or current events, Adonai?
Well, I did have some things I wanted to say, but I don't think that this would be the proper forum for that. You understand when you at this particular time, but my program that I'm trying to get set up, you understand, can actually be a step up for somebody that's looking to get into this field here. You understand? We need a lot of things that need to be done. You understand? And I would really, really like to get a chance to talk to some people about that. You understand? So that we won't, you know, the sooner the better is what I'm trying to say. You understand? This might be the year for it. 2014.
Well, I mean, you know, we look at it. When I was sitting there last week, I was putting the website together for the Nation of Yehuda. And when I realized that we're building a nation, I mean, that's so powerful in itself to say we're building a nation. We're a nation within a nation, a government in exile. When you really understand the dynamics of that, that is so. In order to understand what it takes to build a nation, even to comprehend the fact that we're a people without a land, we're a people without a culture, we are a people without a real ethnic identity, a fingerprint. We don't have an ethnic fingerprint on the earth other than the fact that all we know from what we've been told is that our ancestors were brought here by force, and our ancestors were made to serve, and we built this country. You know, when you understand that from an economic standpoint, we ceased from picking cotton, and we have gone to commercializing and commerce and consumerism. So, I mean, you know, when you look at the dynamics of all of that, it's a lot to absorb at one point. And to introduce that to someone who knows nothing about it takes careful consideration, and it takes careful dialogue, because you don't want to offend anyone and you don't want to push anyone over the edge or they become unconcerned. So for us to be able, for the Most High to even make the connection with him and I, that we were able to communicate with each other the way that we did in the short span of time that we had to communicate with each other, it's almost poetic that now we have an opportunity to be exposed to a different class of people. And unfortunately, you know, we always say, well, we don't want to take anything from the beast, or we don't want any money coming from people that worship other gods, or we don't want this and that. But we don't have a choice, because we're living in a society where this is where we all get our money from. So, you know, like I said before, when you really start to understand the dynamics of the Most High and how he operates, every time our ancestors were in a position where we were either in exile or we were being occupied by another nation or we were just plain blatant in captivity, he's always designated certain people to be in certain positions to be able to maneuver through the government to get his plan done. And I hear people saying, well, if not, man's going to have to do it. The Most High is going to have to do it, or Yah's going to have to do it. No, Yah has always taken people and strategically placed them in position so that they would be able to maneuver themselves and to be close to those people who were in position and power to run things, so that we could present ourselves, one, and at the highest level of government, representing his government, and two, to be able to get his will done. So, you know, now it's time to take it to a whole nother level. And this may not be for everybody, because, you know, we started out with one agenda, and now we found ourselves in another, a whole nother agenda, to the point where now we have to focus on moving this whole platform forward. If we're going to build ourselves back as a nation, and as a nation, we came here against our will. No matter how comfortable we've gotten, and no matter how much we have assimilated into this culture, that is not the fingerprint that we have. And we've got to be able to say, hey, look, we don't care how much money you have. You can be a millionaire. You can be a billionaire. You can be anything. You can be the president of Johnson & Johnson, or you can be Shaquille O'Neal. If your family came over on the transatlantic slave trade, your real identity is you are descendant of Yaakov and the 12 tribes of Israel. Regardless to whether you believe it or not, this is the movement that's going on. And unfortunately, it's going to change some things, because the image that we have now, and the presentation that's being put forth now, We love, we respect everybody that's done what they need to do. But for the Most High to move this thing forward, because 2019 is the 400th year that we've been in this land. And they're right now putting together a program, and maybe this is something he can help us with. For 2019, every black person that's in America should be making plans to go to Virginia, because this is our 400th year of being in this land. And the Most High told Abraham in Genesis 15, know for an assurity that your seed is going to be in captivity for 400 years. But after that, I'm going to bring out. So we've got to start focusing and moving like a nation, because we're getting ready to move out of here like a nation. And as crazy as it sounds, so this sounds crazy to people who've never heard it before, as crazy as it sounds, no matter whether you're a politician, no matter whether you're a basketball player, no matter whether you're a professional football player, it does not matter who you are or where you are socially or economically. You are still a part of the movement of building a nation. And in order to do that, we have to have people that have finance. The Most High is going to bring the people with the finances. And that's just how it has to be done. They're going to bring the people, and I've been trying to tell everybody this from the beginning, they're going to bring the people that have the expertise and the knowledge to be able to move this in a direction that he wants it to be moved in. And there's nothing anybody's going to be able to do about it. So the current leadership, there's going to be a changing of the guard. There's going to be a changing. It's going to be a shift. He's getting ready to shift it. It's not going to be, the focus is not going to be on the T.D. Jakes, the Juanita Bynums, the Iona Locks, the Marvin Winings, the Marvin Saps, the Sister Shirley's, or whoever, Mary, whoever. Those have become icons to us to allow us to have somebody to look up to. This is something totally different. This is on a whole other scale. And then I'm going to take it a step further. Before he can, while he's restoring us as a nation, he's restoring the monarchy as well. Because we have to realize we're not a government that's ran by democracy.
That is correct.
So when we understand where we are and what we're doing, we have to have people in place. He's opening up the door for us to be able to intertwine, to be able to mix, to be able to meet, to be able to talk to different people from all walks of life, people that are willing, even though they may not openly say, okay, well, I believe in what you're doing, but I don't want to jeopardize my job, but we're quietly putting together some funds for you to be able to do this, but you can't tell anybody where you get it from. Fine with us. That works for us. Because we have to be able to build this nation, and we have to be able to have funds to be able to do this. We're building a nation, not a church, not a Knesset, not an organization, a nation. We are building a nation and moving us forward to do what we need to do. So, and as much as we've talked about this, and as much as we've been on this radio show trying to explain to the people that are consciously aware of who they are, that the culture and the fingerprint and the identity that you have given thus far, it may not be what is going to actually blossom and manifest into who we are as Hebrew Israelites. It may be an extension of or an expression of, but it's not. We're getting ready to move in the areas of government, and I feel it more so ever in my spirit than I have ever felt before, because we've got to prepare ourselves. We have got to prepare ourselves professionally. We've got to prepare ourselves economically. We've got to prepare ourselves spiritually and ethnically to be able to stand next to kings and presidents of different countries, because when you think about the 12 countries that are occupying Canaan, here are 12 countries that are living on the land that was given to our forefathers. We've got to be able to negotiate with these people and let them know when the time comes. You know, that even though we're out of our land, that still belongs to us.
That is correct. Well.
So, you know, and I don't want to sound like a repetitive record. I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, well, you know, she feels like she's getting ready to be out. No, I've been saying this for a long time because, you know, we have to understand that there are certain things the Most High whispers into our ear that we're able to see. And you got to be able to be ready for all of this because it's getting ready to, he said, I'm going to build a, he said, build a nation. A nation is getting ready to be birthed.
That is correct.
So the money that you need for your program, the money that we need for the ID card machines and all that kind of stuff, there are people that have that would be willing to donate that without a problem. But we've got to be able, our presentation is everything. Presentation is everything. When we went to Washington, D.C., that is the one thing that we stood up, that I stood up and said, in spite of what everybody else saw, irregardless to what you think, we are not a bunch of religious fanatics standing up here screaming on this line. These people, we have traveled from all over the country to come here to let you know as a courtesy that the Most High is getting ready to restore back his people. He's getting ready to bring his people back into the knowledge of who they are. He is getting ready to restore his people back to their ethnic identity, their cultural heritage, and not to mention their inheritance that they were given by him. All this is getting ready to come back into manifestation, as crazy as it sounds. And whether it be Al Sharpton or Steve Harvey or Dr. Cornel West, all of the ones that have been thrown out there in front of us that supposedly rallies for us and labors for us, you know, and they're the voice of the black people, all that's fine and good in this time, but this is a whole nother program to build a nation and to tell the people that have been, that have felt like they were left in, they were on the bottom, a select few were able to actually make it through, and even then there's still control mechanisms within that success level that they're constantly controlling, that, hey, we've got to all come together and say, what is it that you need for me to do? Let me roll up my sleeves so we can help.
That's what you need, somebody to say that they want to help. You understand? What is it that you need to be done? And be willing to do some, to roll up their sleeves and do some work. What we've become is complacent, and we wax fat, and we kicked. You understand? We got to a point here, we assimilated ourselves into the society. We're under the illusion of inclusion. You understand?
Absolutely.
But that's all right. But see, we have to do something as a nation. You understand? To be recognized. You understand? We can't sit back. If we don't do nothing, then we're gonna be totally annihilated. You understand what I'm saying? What I mean by that is that we're gonna melt right into the society. You understand? By marrying into these other nations. And before then, before we know it, you understand, there will be no more black peoples that came over here as slaves. You understand? They're trying to erase us out of the history books. But so before that, but see, the Almighty is not going to let that happen, no way. You understand? What he's going to do, he's going to band us together, and so that we can get, so we can come out of here smelling like a rose. Even though we were in this position, we're going to still come out of here smelling like a rose. And so it's just a matter of us continuously saying what we have to say and moving in the direction of that. You understand? Maybe the brother will be on the line later, or maybe you can get in touch with him again. Tell him he doesn't lose nothing by talking. You understand? Let's try to talk and try to figure this out. You understand? We're the same people that put all of this stuff in place. You understand? They may have had an idea on how it's supposed to work, but we're the people that worked on every entity, every industry, you understand, in this society, from the politics down to the outhouse, from the White House down to the outhouse. So I know that we can fix this. You understand?
And,
that's
and if
my,
nothing
my,
else, become consciously aware. You know, because like I said, the days are gone of arguing or begging and pleading and come on, we can do this, we can build our nation. Those days are gone. That ship has already sailed, and I'm not sure if he's on here or not. I see a lot of area codes that I've never seen before, so I'm imagining that he may just be listening, and that's fine. On of rallying people together and trying to get people to come together, no. The Most High is moving us in another direction to the point where we're getting ready to go before government. This is going to be a grassroots operation anymore. For some people, it may be. But for what we're planning on doing, this has to be moving in the direction to be able to deal with governments and to be able to walk in there educated, politically sound, have our knowledge of who we are, what we stand for, and most of all, what the will is of the Most High is. So we have to be able to have those avenues there, because in order to wake a nation up, in order to wake us up, I mean, you're talking about 400 years. That is over with in 2019, officially over with in 2019. Now, when 19 comes and goes, there's nothing else that will mark 400 years other than that. Some people say that it has already came and gone. But officially, for 400 years is over in 2019. That was the initiated time that the Most High gave the nation to be able to stay in existence, because they were the ones that would hold us for our captivity. Our prison sentence was 400 years, and it is almost up. And when you realize that we were a nation on probation, basically is what we were. From the time Moshe got the blueprint and the probation packet from the Most High, and he brought it down and he gave it to us and said, if you do this, 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 and this, then you'll be this and this, this, and you'll be honored, treasured, preferable, and all the nations will watch you. But if you don't, then you're going to go into captivity, this and that. You're going to be in there for 400 years, blah, blah, blah. All of that is a nation under probation, and we failed probation. So to be in captivity, how old you are again, no matter what social level you are in life again, it does not matter if your ancestors came over on the transatlantic slave trade, then you are a part of our nation. And to be a part of this nation and realize that we are not the African American, that there's no such thing in the table of nations in Genesis chapter 10. African American does not exist. It has never been a nation of people. It will never be an ethnic identity of anybody. And we are not considered Negroes. That is not who we are. We are the original 12 tribes of Yaakov in the scriptures. We are the original Hebrew Israelites in the scripture. And unfortunately, like I said, there are people out there that have given us a personage. They have presented an image. You know, and everybody that presents an image is not always representative of the whole. So when you understand the condition that we're in, and that this nation, and when I say one nation, because everybody says we can't just be America because we all over the world, you're absolutely right. It can't just be America. So when he speaks of a nation, he's talking about one whole unit that runs, that controls the whole captivity and slavery. And that is a whole unit in itself, and that is the European Union. So when you talk about a nation, he said, I'm getting ready to judge it. They're all getting ready to be judged. 400 years is the time limit that we were given, and it's almost up. So to move to a nation building, we've got to start growing up, stand up, and focus on what's important. All the other stuff, we're gonna work it out in the meantime, but we got to get professional, because now it's time to move in arenas where it's getting ready to happen, and it's going to happen fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, see, a lot of us, man, just like I said, you know, our plight here, you understand, and what we're going through, you understand, a lot of us don't think that this is, you know, that you know, they just can't see the big picture here. You understand? They just can't see it. They think that this is the way it's supposed to go. You understand? We supposed to we're not in no captivity. This is how it is. You understand? And it's got to be proven. Almighty's going to do something and totally different to give those same people that's sitting on the fence, skeptical. You understand that? The real big picture, and that's the only way. You understand? A lot of us don't even know about the scriptures. A lot of us don't even know about Deuteronomy 28. They do not even equate us in that. You understand? So it's gonna be, you know. See, the time is coming, and it's getting, and it's very close. It's hastening. You understand? If you ever, and I'm gonna show you how I know that the time is hastening. I don't even think it's been a week since we was on here last time. You understand? The time just shot by like a bullet. And here we are back on this same on the program again. So the time of the Almighty's bringing his wrath on all of those nations that held us captive, you understand, is hastening, you understand. And we must gather ourselves. Those that have not read Zephaniah need to take a look at that. Take a hard look at that. It may mention all of those nations in the past, in ancient history, but we're reading it in today's time. And in the day's time, we in captivity. And there's a way out of this mess. You understand? We just got to come together and start moving as a nation. You understand? And there's one other thing I want to say. And they got other nations. They got the Chinese. They got the all of these other people that they call a nation. There's no nation called Negro. Or Black American.
That's right. I agree with you 100%. So, you know, those are the things, like I said, you know, as much as we talk about it, as much as we get tired of being repetitive about what we ask for and how much we want people to participate, you know, those days are over. Those days are gone. Those ships have sailed. We're not arguing anymore about Messianic and non-Messianic. We're not doing that anymore. It is a nation. If you don't have the necessary spirit and the tools to move forward, then we suggest that you go pray and ask the Most High to give you what you need and to heal your heart so you can roll up your sleeves and come to work, because we're still going to love anyway, in spite of, instead of, because of. We still have to survive in this economy. We still have to live in this land until it comes time for us to leave. But nobody fathoms the thought that we're leaving. I mean, nobody thinks about the fact that we're leaving. We have got so comfortable with where we are and have that nobody thinks about the fact that we are a people without a land. We came here without a land. We were stripped of our identity. We were stripped of our sources, our resources, our substance, our royal heritage. We were completely stripped of everything because of our own disobedience. But we were a people without a land. But the Most High did not leave us and cause us to come to a total end. So as a result of that, our sentence is almost over. 400 years is almost over. And teaching our children that this is not our land. When you talk about the other 12 countries that are occupying the land that was given to us, that land that belongs to us, that is going to be restored back unto us, that's going to cause a whole international uproar when we start talking to Syria and Lebanon and Iraq, saying that you are occupying our land. People don't think about it because we've gotten so comfortable with where we are and what we're doing right now that we are so supportive of this republic society, of this corporate America, that we're forgetting that the Most High put us on the clock. We have 400 years to be in this condition, and unfortunately for us, our generation is the one that's going to see it.
That is correct. Did you say fortunately or unfortunately?
Yeah, fortunately.
Fortunately, we have been given the charge, you understand, to make a difference. You know, like you did mention Al Sharpton and all of those people were just put in place so that we could sustain our living. If those people don't be in place, we'd be annihilated. I'm talking about Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and all of the rest and the host of them. You understand? They were only put in place so that we could maintain, we could still be in existence to this day right here and beyond. You understand? Now it's left on us to make a difference now, to do something. You understand? To sustain our living, to build this nation of Israel. It was we were supposed to build a nation back then. My time, years ago when I first came in there. That was the plan. It was nation building time then. I guess that was the start of the nation building, you understand, because a lot of things happened during that era, you understand, Black Panthers and Skokie Carmichael and a whole host of other things. They started moving in the realm of being a nation, whether they knew that or not. You understand? So now it's at this point right here where we don't have any martyrs to stand in the way, you understand, so that we could look at them or tell them or let them tell us how to go. It's on us. The concept of nation, you understand, has to come from us right now. We the people of righteousness, the Almighty is righteousness. And we're supposed to bring righteousness back unto the earth. That's our job. We don't have the job of straightening out no nation. And that's the Creator's job. The Creator is the one that's going to do that. You understand? Now, if you read Zephaniah in chapter 1, it speaks on what he's going to do and how he's going to straighten out all of these nations, you understand, that kept us captives. In the second chapter, the first verse, he commands us to gather ourselves as a nation. He didn't say group, congregation, camp, you understand? He said nation. And that means that the four corners of the earth, wherever we've been scattered, we must try to start gathering ourselves together, you understand, so that we could learn humility and righteousness so that we may be hidden in the day of his great wrath. And it's coming. There's no doubt about it. You understand? We can look at how the weather is changing. Everybody that's on the news today, you listen to what they say. It's been the worst weather, the weather is changing so rapidly, you understand, more than any other time in history. So the Almighty's hand is moving in the earth, man. You understand? So we got to try to do something about ourselves, man, and stop worrying about everybody else right now. You understand? They'll get it together once we start getting it together. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. And like I said, I'm not going to say the brother's name on the radio. You may just choose to listen, and that's fine. We just appreciate the fact that you are on the show, and we appreciate the fact that you took time out of your day to be on the show for us. But, you know, we appreciate that you're interested enough to call in. And like I said, we do need people from different walks of life to mentor us and take us into the next level, you know, to be able to, even silently, to be able to come aboard and say, hey, what do you need us to do? I'll be able to help you get this and that and the other done. Because our job is to build a nation. And if you want to push one and be a part of the conversation, please, you're more than welcome to do that. But as a result of our meeting and as a result of the fact that we did meet, you know, and having an opportunity to meet someone that's able to expose us to different arenas and possibly have support of different people from different walks of life that we would not normally have from an everyday basis, it is the Most High. And we've got to be ready to walk through the door. And that's what we've been doing, Brother Donia. Even with the radio show, we've been preparing ourselves to be able to be on a platform nationally and internationally because we've got to be able to walk through the doors. Like I said, this is more political than anything, and you're absolutely right. The people that are functioning now, Christians and Muslims and all of the people that are functioning from a religious standpoint, their minds are completely somewhere else. Even with this Christmas stuff, their people's minds are completely somewhere else, but the Most High has an agenda.
That is correct.
He has a protocol, and that agenda and that protocol is going to be met, and he's going to mentor certain people to be able to move through those planet channels and be able to do what they need to do and make this thing get done. So, you know, and like I said, I want to make it very clear to everybody that we have some very special people on the line today. We have some very influential people, some very, very powerful people are on this line today. And they are listening to our show, so we're going to be very careful with how we present ourselves because they may be introduced to this the very first time. I don't want anybody to come on the show and give a commercial, give a website, give a anything, because we are talking from a generic standpoint today, and we are opening up, like I said, the Most High is presenting us with an opportunity to be able to walk through different channels and to be able to be associated with different people that would be able to open up doors for us so that we can move in different arenas to complete what we need to get done. And it's a beautiful thing, because all of the time that we've labored, the money that we've spent, the time that we spent talking and we spent begging and we spent asking and we spent doing to try to get conscious Israel to see it, the Most High was in a corner over on the back end of the room doing something else and connecting us with other people. And the meetings are starting to happen. The meetings of the minds are starting to come together, and everybody's starting to say, hey, what is it that you're doing? What do you mean by that? Well, tell me more. And by them opening up their eyes and their curiosity, it opens up opportunity. And it takes a special breed of people to be able to handle it, because you can't go in there hollering, I'm a Messianic, I don't believe with the non-Messianic. You can't. That's out the window.
That is correct.
We're going as a nation. Now, what your beliefs are, you're entitled to have those beliefs. But when we talk about representing from a government standpoint, that's something totally different. That's not for everybody.
That is correct. And, you know, what better feeling could you get than to know that you're doing something to establish a nation of peoples? I mean, all right, you don't have it now, but the Almighty will give you that feeling. Trust me.
Yes.
And a lot of people do not believe that there even is a creator. You understand? But we have to understand that the creator, I'm going to show you how it came to me. We came over here by ships. We did come over here by ships. And in the scriptures, and in ancient times, it was written in the scriptures that we would be over here by ships, by people that our forefathers did not even know. And so that kind of opened my eyes to the fact that here we are. How did we get here? Where did we come from? You understand? We came from that continent, you understand, where we was dispersed and exiled. You understand? But we came here and we put our feet here by ships. You understand? America is just one of the places that we were dropped off. We were dropped off in the four corners of the earth, you understand, the Caribbean and all of those places. But we came from Africa in ships, you understand. So that kind of opened my eyes as to who we are. We are the people of the diaspora. We are the people of the Atlantic slave trade, you understand? And so that let me know that, that the Almighty is true to his word, because he has said that we was going to be put into captivity. And these were years, almost 2,000, 3,000 years before it even happened. That was written down. So that let me know that there is a creator, you understand? So, I mean, that's one of the reasons that he had let me know that I found out that there is a creator. Because all before then, man, I had not even thought about any creator, you understand? It was just about me being in this, finding a job and staying on a job and taking care of my family. Now I understand, you understand, and so that's what we have to understand, is that there is a creator, and he had set this place set this place up. He made a decree that shall not be transgressed. We may talk about stuff, we can try to spin it any kind of way that we do, but that decree is going to stand. You understand?
Yeah.
The righteousness is going to rule out all of this stuff. You understand? And that's what Almighty is about, righteousness. You know? So, you know, that feeling of knowing that we have some hope here. You understand?
Yeah.
We know that Almighty is with us. And all we got to do is do what he say. You understand? He said, gather ourselves, man, let's jump at that. Let's make that our focal point. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. We have area code 513. Go ahead. You're on the air. Area code 513. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Shalom, shalom, peace and blessings, family. I like to come from a non-religious standpoint because I've realized that our people, when you look back through the annals of times, our people were massive mathematical scientific geniuses.
Yes.
And they didn't just believe in something that was not evident. They looked for evidence. And I think it's important that we realize that there's something doesn't come from nothing. You can't get something out of nothing. There's always cause and effect. And when we look at the needs of our people, we're seeing the effect of what caused that. So, and if we want to really be about change, then we have to put something in motion that will bring about the change that we desire to have. And there's nothing more valuable. You know, we were told when you were young, when I was young, not to tell my age, they always say, you know, God bless the child that's got his own. You know, we have a lot of solutions, but it's hard to implement those solutions in someone else's household. You know,
right.
If I'm living with you, I can't come in here and decide to change your furniture around and say this is how we're going to run things. Unless I plan on taking you under siege, and you're going to fight me like heck to keep me from doing that because this is your house.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to be able to set up my own structure to be able to save my children that's dying out on the street, I need to separate myself in order to be able to do that. And I think it's very important that our people realize that this is not about religion. We've been a spiritual people all the days of our lives, and that's the one thing that we seem to sometimes fall out about. And I listen to people, it shouldn't be about a debate. And any of those that have that spirit of debating, leave it. It's not needed. Because we know in all certainty, no matter which direction you come from to get to the Almighty Creator, that the meek and the humble shall inherit the earth. So if you want to have a discussion, if you want to converse, if you have some solutions, bring them to the table. Because it's definitely something in each and every one of us that we have as a gift to give to the world at large. The whole earth is crying out for peace. This is not even a black or white issue. It's about righteousness reigning in the earth. And our children, we're not going to see the change until we stand on that which is right. And we can no longer just stand by and watch wickedness run rampant within our homes, within our communities, within this nation. And it starts with us. It's cause and effect. And that's not a religious issue. That's a survival issue. Because when you look throughout the annals of time, throughout history, every great civilization, look around, where are they today? What preceded their fall? Wickedness.
That's right. That's right.
No, it's not a religious issue. It's not a religious issue, but we do have to address the moral decay within our communities, within our home. And we have to do it in a loving way so that it will stand and it will last. And one final thing before I go, I just want to say, may the Most High guide and direct each and every one of you, because he is a creative force that's in motion. We're in motion. Someone tell me, you know, just think about the whole thought. Someone said to me one time, they said, you know, we're talking about heaven. Because I at one time one thought, well, you know, when I die and go to heaven, he said, heaven? Did you miss that part of science when you was a little girl that told you about all the planets rotating around and how the earth was spinning around in midair? You are already in heaven. Every planet that's in the universe is in the heavens. You want change? Be the change. Well, with that, I want to say peace and blessings, my family. One love.
All right, shalom, shalom. We believe it. We love it. Like I said, we have a lot of people on this line, and we have a lot of area codes that we don't know. And let me introduce myself again. It is. My name is Yaina Israel. I had the opportunity of meeting a gentleman last week. I'm not going to say his name over the radio because I don't want there to be a conflict of interest of any kind. He promised me that he was going to be on the show today, and I am believing that promise that he is on the show. And we want to say thank you for taking the time out today and to spending time with us. And we wanted to very carefully and strategically and professionally introduce us as to who we are as a nation. So, you know, we have a lot of issues within our nation as being the people of the diaspora. And we realize that, you know, a lot of us that are coming into this that is new, that are new, that we've introduced this thing to, that are new and understanding, you know, we want to be very careful with how we approach and what we say, because we don't want to offend or to confuse anyone. You know, but our main objective in this thing is to build our nation. And it's time for us. Our time here is almost over. We were not here to stay forever in spite of what people think. We do not argue with people. We do not debate with people. I have people right now that are on the chat line texting and trying to get a response that you're not going to get, because we're not here to debate anymore. We're not here to bring anything to the table anymore. What we're trying to do right now is build ourselves as a nation. We came here as a nation, and we will leave here as a nation, because we were brought here, and we were a people without a land. There is no such ethnicity as African-American people. There, it does not exist. It does not exist. It was given to us to label us while we were yet in this land, and no matter how long we've been here, it has not been equal. It will not be equal, and it has not been fair. There have been a few that have made it to a certain level where they were able to live better than the majority, but even then, there is a control mechanism involved in that as well to make sure that they understand as well that it comes with conditions. So we're here to let everyone know that our time here is almost up. Our job is to educate our people. Our job is to re-educate our children so that we are not perpetuating the lie anymore, and that we're not going along with the stories anymore, and that we're preparing ourselves to leave. Now, for all of you all that are in the chat room that do not believe that, you have my expressed opinion. You can leave at any time. We appreciate you supporting. But at this point, at the juncture, we are ready to go on and move toward other things. So, you know, people come on to challenge us and to try to get responses out of us that they're just not going to get. Our job right now is to get ourselves in a conscious awareness that economic empowerment, it comes with conditions in this land. We know, because we are under a curse. And and I know this is difficult for some people. They say, what the heck are you talking about? We are a people that are I used to wonder as a teenager why we were hated so much. I just couldn't understand it. I was like, what did we do that we are hated so much? Why don't they want to touch our hands? What is the purpose? Why do we do? Is it dirt on it? Are we unclean? What is the purpose of it? And you know, I've always broken racial barriers. I can say that I've always been one to break racial barriers. You know, I had a private school education. I went into schools that were predominantly white, and I was maybe the fifth black child in the whole school, and went through the whole dynamics of it all. And I watched prejudice from another angle, and I didn't understand it then. It bothered me. I didn't understand why we were so oppressed, why we were people that were so downtrodden, why we just couldn't seem to get it together, why there were, you know, as much as they encouraged education and as much as they promoted education, that everybody wasn't running toward education. Everybody wasn't running toward trying to be educated, because in a nation you have people from all walks of social life, from the social scale. So to understand those things and to look at the dynamics of it all, like you said, this is hope that we're bringing. This is not confusion. It's not conjecture. It's not confrontational. It's just hope. And even with hope, there are still people out there that are challenging. There are still people that are of color that are out there that refuse to accept it. And that's fine. We don't have a problem with that. You don't have to accept it. But guess what? We won't let you do. We won't let you tear it down anymore either, because we know who we are. Now, if you choose not to participate, that's fine. But we know who we are. And it's our job. We've been mandated to let everybody else, our brothers and sisters, know as much as we can. Now, it's the Most High's responsibility to wake them up. But we have a responsibility to let them know we are a nation.
That is correct. Yeah. I want to make an appeal to that young lady that just spoke. You understand? I appreciate her, what she was saying. And I'd like for her to keep calling and keep voicing her opinion and what she has to say. You understand? So that, see, dialogue is, you know, is something that is necessary in this day and time. You understand? We may be able to pull things together by us talking, but if we don't say nothing, you understand, we're going to remain in the same position. You understand what I'm saying? And we might as well bend ourselves over backwards and kiss our butt goodbye if we don't dialogue and try to get us ourselves out of this predicament that we're in. And you made some very good points, you understand, so I appreciate it if you would continuously to talk so that we can try to figure this out, you understand what I'm saying? Because we can't figure it out if we don't talk, if we don't try to, you understand? You know, so, you know, the feeling of hope is in the air.
Yes, it is.
Now it's time for us to make hope a possibility. Or something that we can touch and feel and see. You understand? So it's left on us, the ones that know themselves, you understand, or supposedly know themselves and know themselves to a small degree, you understand, or that has a feeling of wanting to do something, that see our position and that want to do something. That is our job. You understand? We don't have the job of cleaning up no nation, picking up your gun, and going out to war. That is not our job. That's the Almighty job. You understand? So what we have to do is try to figure out how we can get back to the land. You understand? I mean, and the Almighty will show us what we need to do. But we just got to have the willingness in our hearts and in our minds to be able to gather ourselves and get ourselves back together. You understand? We got to go to the Almighty with it. I appreciate that. Hallelujah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it's never too much to do because we always have a lot to do. There's a lot to do in gathering. There's a lot to do in even building the structure, you know, because we become so assimilated into this thing. There's a lot to do in even building the structure to be able so that when the time comes that people will come into and we will start establishing ourselves and being accountable for ourselves and making sure that we can function as a nation in exile. It does not mean that we run the country. It does not mean that we're trying to run this country. We are not. What it means is that we have a foundation that is set that our people can run into so that they can gain hope and healing. Because before we can help anybody else, and I'm all for the other nations being built and we're for the healing of the nation, but before we can help anybody else, we have to be healed. And that's a process that has to take place. And the Most High has to be able to heal us from the things that we've experienced. Even though we brought it on ourselves, we still have to be healed. So our job is to continue to do what we need to do to make this thing happen. And like I said, He's opening up the door for certain people to be able to come into our lives, and certain arenas are beginning to open that people will come in and to be able to willingly help us, whether they do it knowingly or unknowingly, whether they do it as a silent contributor, however they do it. The beautiful part about it all is that we have people that would be willing to donate to be able to help us get this thing done. And it doesn't take a whole lot. It just takes a few people that's willing to roll up their sleeves. And like I said, the gentleman that's on the show, we appreciate you taking the time out today to come on the show. I will not say your name on the air out of the courtesy and out of respect because it's really no one else's business who it is. You know, but that the Most High made the connection and we made the connection and we're doing what we need to do to make this happen, you know. And again, our website will be up real soon. By Tuesday, the Nation of Yehuda's website will be up, and it'll kind of give in detail some to what we stand for, who we are, you know, and how we're doing it. But in the meantime, if you would like to reach me, you can definitely reach me by email. My email is Yaena, Y-A-H-E-E-N-A, Yisrael, it's Y-I-S-R-A-E-L at gmail.com. Please feel free to email me with anything that you can, any concerns that you may have, questions you may have. you know, because we definitely email out the show every week and we send it out to thousands and thousands and thousands of people so that they can listen to it, because a lot of people forget about it. I mean, you know, and it's very important. It's very important from a government standpoint that we understand that before we can move and operate like we're supposed to be as a government, we have to position ourselves and be ready to move out in those arenas. And certain people just will not be able to go because they don't have it. It doesn't mean that they can't work in another capacity, just not that way. And a lot of things we share on the air and a lot of things we don't. You know, but as far as who we are and what we're doing, we are the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade. We are the descendants of Yaakov, the 12 tribes of Israel, and we are building ourselves back as a nation so that when the time comes, we will be able to go back to a specific location for the Most High to be able to love, to purge us, to teach us, and to get us ready so that we can go back into our own land. We realize that we would not be able to occupy our land at this point because there are nations on our lands that are living. This is profound. This is evidence that has been proven, and that we're just continuing to believe who we are, and we believe in economic empowerment, don't get us wrong, but we approach economic empowerment from the standpoint of knowing exactly who and what we're dealing with.
One thing that I wanted to say is that those people that occupy that land did not occupy, that are occupying that land today, were not the people that occupied that land in 1945. It was the Palestinians, and then before the Palestinians, it was the Philistines. No, it was Israel, and then it was the Philistines. So things change. This is not, just because we are here in this society here, doesn't mean that this is where we've been all along. That didn't happen. Things happen to make things go around to this particular point here. We came from the Atlantic slave trade, and we built the society up. We were the labor force for this society to get in position that it's in today. You understand? If you got a good job, it was because of us being the slaves in that in an era where they had the slaves, and the slaves built this and they put that and made it possible for you to have that good job today. If you don't have a job, we still had to go through that slave trade. Well, one thing that I'm finding out here too is now we suffer from post-traumatic slave syndrome. That means that we are so afraid of our captors that we will not do anything unless they could tell us anything. We'll do what they say. But as soon as a brother or sister say something, you wouldn't even consider it. So, you know, we're trying to tell you something here, and you're not even considering. But we will stay stuck on this in this society because this society is a tangible thing. You can feel this. You understand? But had you been back there in that slave era, you understand? You would understand today what went down at that particular time to get us to this particular point right here. You understand? So we need to try to make something happen for our future children. We got children here. You understand? See, you know, if we set something up for our children, this will keep them from having to go through what our brothers and sisters are going through now, killing one another, being shot down by other folks. You understand? We got to show them and train them and put them in position so that they'll understand what to do. You understand? And open up our own industries. You understand? You know, oh man, there's so many things that we could do. And trust me, you understand, these people is not going to be able to do anything to us if we working towards building our own nation up there. The Almighty ain't going to let that happen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And even in slavery, we should never forget it. We should never forget it. I don't think we should ever forget it. We should never stop teaching our children it. I mean, it's like it's not a dirty little secret that nobody should talk about anymore. It's very real. It was very apparent. It happened, and it happened for a reason. We just need to tell the real version of why it happened and not the manufactured version to clean up everybody's involvement in how it happened. So, I mean, I heard somebody say something. They said the desire to know is stronger than the desire to be fooled. So, you know, the fact that people are on the show and they're listening and they want to know what we're talking about and they want to gain more information is the Most High himself moving, even the people on the chat line that's constantly challenging me. The fact that they're on the show means that they're coming. They come every week to challenge, but you're still coming and you're still listening. It's going to deposit in you, and when the movement happens, I guarantee you'll be there.
That is correct.
You'll be there because this, he said, know for an surety that I am going to bring them out of their captivity. 400 years and they will be brought out of the captivity. The Most High does not lie. He cannot lie. And we are not just destitute to this situation that we're in this country. He has an exit strategy for us.
Absolutely. Yes, and absolutely, you know. We just got, it's going to take a little by little. And sooner, and as we put in this little bit here, then it gets bigger and bigger. You understand? We might not be able to see it as it's happening, but it's getting bigger and bigger. And before you know it, you understand, we'll have the movement. It wouldn't even be recognized as a movement because we'll be so into it.
Yes, absolutely. You know, like I said, the exit strategy that he has for us is already, the blueprints have been laid out. He's told us how. He told us the timeline. He told us when. And everybody says, well, the 400 years is over. Well, I haven't seen no nation being come out of the four corners of the earth. I haven't seen it. Have you seen it? It ain't happened yet in my lifetime, so... The 400 years is the prison sentence that we had. We had to be here for that time, and in the midst of that time, we have assimilated into this culture. We have raised our children. We have honored their holidays. We have kept their laws. We have lived within their communities. We have wore their clothes. We have learned their language. We have worshipped the way they wanted us to worship. We have done everything that they wanted us to do, and then they attached to us a name, and they said, you can now call yourselves African-American. This is successful. We will accept you as African-Americans. We have worked their jobs. We have taken substandard living conditions. We have become sweet. We went from field hands that weren't considered to be human to what they call us, two-thirds of a human being, to house Negroes, and then from house Negroes we got educated. When we worked our way up, and some of us have arrived at political positions, we have a man of color as the president of the United States of America. But that still does not take away from the fact that we are a people that we have our own God, we have our own land, we have our own heritage, and we have our own royalty, and we are a government in exile ruled by a monarchy. And we are not a democratic government. We will never have been, and we never will be. It doesn't matter what you say, whether you believe it or not, it is the truth.
You ever looked at it from this standpoint? I'm looking at it as though during the time of Joseph came to Egypt, and he became the second person in charge of all Egypt. You understand?
He was the vice president. Yes, sir.
And look at President Obama. He is in charge now. He don't run nothing, of course. You understand? I mean, he makes decisions based on what they tell him to do. But it's along the same lines that Joseph had done. You understand what I'm saying? Joseph was he came and he set up certain things, and he got him out of a predicament that was sure to kill everybody in that particular era. You understand, when they was going through the famine, You understand? So he got him out of that predicament. Look what Obama did. Now, I'm not a Obama fan, but I mean, you understand? He was one. He's one of the people that sustaining our living while we are in this captivity period. If they, he don't be in place, we would be annihilated. Just imagine if we had got Romney or McCain. You understand? We'd be in martial. We'd be under martial law right now today. You understand? So we have to understand that all those people were. Although we might not agree with their methods or their understandings. You understand? They were only there. They are only put in place to keep us alive until we come, until the Almighty brings us together to get us out of this mess. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And those are the things that we have to understand. Like I said, the exit strategy has already been mapped out. The Most High has given us. I mean, if you just take the time, and I mean, a lot of people say, well, why do you find your history in the Bible? Because everything else has been stolen. Everything else has been erased. Everything else is hidden. And I know they have the records in the Vatican. The Vatican has most of it in their hallways and miles and miles of underground tunnels. But all of the books that have been taken out and the history books, everything has been whitewashed. Everybody across the whole earth was white. I mean, when you really look at the stories of the scriptures, everybody was white. Moses was white, Abraham was white, Miriam was white, everybody was white. Nimrod was white, Nebuchadnezzar was white, everybody. And there was not one person of color. The way we have been interpreted the story now, the way we live now, colored people didn't exist. We just poof materialized one day, and now all of a sudden we were slaves and we was considered to be mud people. So as far as we're concerned, from the standpoint that we've been given our history, everything has been completely erased to the point where all of our history has been gone and erased deliberately. And the only thing that we can hold on to, that we can see ourselves and the Most High in, is the actual Bible. Now, it has been tampered with, too. We do not denounce that at all. But at the same time, if you read Joel chapter 2, and the beautiful part about this movement is it introduces the Bible back on the scene. It's a beautiful thing because people are starting to pick up the Bible. People who have never read it before are reading it from a totally different standpoint. They're reading it from a historical standpoint and receiving a religious experience or a spiritual experience from it, but they're reading their heritage in there. If you read Joel chapter 2, I think it's verse 27, he said, I am the Lord God of the Hebrews and none else. He said, I don't belong to nobody else. I'm your God. But because our heritage has been stolen from us, because our ethnicity has been stolen from us, and they replaced it with rap stars and movie stars and entertainers and pro ball players and politicians and designer clothes and gym shoes and hairstyles and music and all this junk, we've lost the fact that we are royalty. We were the richest nation ever known unto man before we messed up. So we have got to, I'm not saying none of that stuff is wrong. Don't get me wrong. Y'all like football, I like football too. I like basketball, I like all that stuff. I've been in this same captivity too. But we've got to come to the realization of the fact that we've got to think at a higher level. We were royalty. We have to teach our children that, because when we're gone, believe me, they're going to amp the game up a little bit more to the point where they're not even going to mention slavery no more. My grandchildren won't even know nothing about slavery.
That is correct.
That tells the story of how we got here, and it opens up dialogue as to why we were treated the way we were treated. And then we have the answer, and we can tell you this is why you got the treatment that you got. This is why, but the only thing about it is the Most High sent us here to punish us, but they went too far.
That is correct. We was only supposed to be bond women and bond men. You understand? And they took it to chattel slavery. You understand? They didn't have no respect for young or the old. You understand? So we had to go through this. But see, we went through this here. See, the Almighty is going to straighten all of this out. You understand? Yeah. Our only job is that we gather ourselves. You understand? We going back into the land. You understand? I know this is impossible for us to even think that. You understand? Because I didn't think that a while back myself until I understood, you understand, what it was said in the scriptures. You understand? But we going back into the land. We cannot go back into the land all willy-nilly and helter-skelter. We have to have a plan. We have to, you know, it has to be well thought out. We have to each know what we're going to do. If you read Ezra went back. They took them people back into the land, you understand, and they started building the temple. They had a plan. They had built up a treasury, you understand, of gold and silver. That was the commodity of that time. Today, you understand, I don't know whether that money going to be any good, but as long as it works, then that's what we need to do. We need to build our treasury up, and I call it a financial institute because it will help us to in a lot of areas. You understand? Not just to build up the structures there. Now, somewhere I read in the scriptures in Isaiah, I think it was. I'm not sure. You understand? They talked about how when we go back into the land, we're going to go back into the land, you understand, and be in structures that we did not build. And we're going to eat from grapevines that we did not plant those things. You understand? So at some point, you understand, Israel, you understand, that land over there, you understand, when we go back there, it's already going to be established for us. All we got to do is get busy. With our new government, with our government.
and the ones that are in control now, because I want to say this, because I know that there are a lot of pro ball players and pro football players and musicians and rap artists and singers that have agents that are Jewish, and those people are in place for a reason. The Most High has them in place for a reason. They are in control for a reason because of our own disobedience. He said, I am going to take because you have provoked me to jealousy. He said, I want to say this, and I see you, area code 706. I'm going to get right with you. He said, because you have provoked me to jealousy, I am going to take it from you, and I am going to give it to a people that is not a people, to provoke you to jealousy, a nation
that is
not a nation. So that every time you look at those people, you'll be looking at those people with your things. They have your name.
That is correct.
Well, they have everything that you were supposed to have. Because you provoked me to jealousy, I am going to choose a people for you to watch. And know that they are not who they are, but you're going to have to deal with it. I put them in place. And all this is a punishment for us. You know?
Yeah, I know. I feel you.
So this is really serious for us, you know, and we look at it, and I want to read it to you because I don't like to just say stuff, so I'm going to read it to you. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 21. And I don't really do this on the air, so I'm going to do something that I don't usually do because I don't have Bible classes on the air and stuff. But I want to read this to you so that you understand, because a lot of people say, well, what about the Jews that are going on now? Who are they? And he said, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not Elohim. They have provoked me to anger with their vanity, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people, and I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. So you got to understand that everything that's happening right now is happening to us as a response of our own disobedience. If we were disobedient. We were a nation on probation. And because we failed probation, we had a 400-year prison sentence that we had to live under, extracted from our land, We were our identity was taken from us and given to someone else, and now he's waking us up. And we still have to watch it. We have to watch it. It's like a movie we're watching right before our eyes, and we have to watch it. We have to still stay diligent. We still have to have the right spirit. We can't have a spirit of hatred. We can't have a spirit of malice, but we have a mandate. Like you said, we have a mandate by the Most High to gather ourselves as a nation. And I'm going to open up the lines to area code 706. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Ruche Mack from Thompson, Georgia. And
I'm sorry, we got disconnected, but I just want to say to everybody that this is the reason why we're doing what we're doing, and we need to stay focused on what we're doing and try to make this as positive as we can. Because in the midst of all of what we're doing, we are doing something positive. We are bringing people back together. We are opening up the conversation and dialogue between not us, but other nations.
Mm-hmm. All right. I hear you.
On the line that was nice enough to call in, that he didn't forget about me, and he said he was going to call in, and he did. You know, we appreciate it. I will not say your name over the air. I look forward to hearing from you. I gave you my email address. Please feel free to email me, you know, so that we can open up a dialogue and we can begin to sit down and to discuss, you know, what we're doing, and if you'll be willing to help, if the Most High has sent you to help, because we need all the help we can get.
Yep. Was that the young man that just hung up, or that got
no,
cut
no,
off?
That wasn't. No, that wasn't him. No, he's still listening.
Oh, okay.
So we still have him listening. Like I said, I won't say his name on the air, but I'll call you, Brother Adonia, later on, and we'll talk, you know. But, you know, the whole show has been dedicated to explaining to him, you know, who we are, what we stand for, what type of radio show we do, you know, and moving into the arenas where people listen, because we don't necessarily have to be on a broadcast system. We can do this right here. We can do this from a whole nother level and blow this up the way we need to do it. But even with that, we still need to take it international. It needs to go to another level, and we need to be able to do the things that we do. So we honor, you know, him and the fact that he was able to come on the show, and you know, like I said, he has connections with a lot of professional people, and we need, you know, as many people that will be willing to roll up their sleeves and support us. We need it as much as we can get.
Let me ask a question. How many other nations outside of the United States are we reaching? Are we able to dialogue with a lot of other nations outside of the United States?
Well, I know we're being heard in Jamaica, and I know we're being heard in England. I'm not quite sure anybody else. I haven't really reached out. I have a connection in Haiti, and I'm gonna tap into that next week, because I was working, so I'm gonna tap into that next week and touch base with my brother that's in Haiti, you know, and see where we can go from there. But and also Sweden. Remember, Dawid was in Sweden.
Oh, yeah, I can.
So
right.
We're pretty much branching out to quite a few people.
Yeah, right, Ken. There was a lady that came on the program a while back, and she said that there was no call for us, you know, for her to get involved. She didn't hear about any you know. There's a lot of people. She said that there was a lot of people that would be willing if there was a call for them to get involved. Are we still in touch with her, or do you know of anything about that?
Guess what? We gave her an opportunity to step up to the plate, and like everybody else, people get on the radio show and sound real professional, and people get on the radio show just to sound like they have all of this stuff together and that they're very intelligent and have all these degrees and the blah. But when the rubber meets the road, they did just like everybody else. When the lights came on, they scattered.
they weren't roaches, were they?
And when the lights came on, they scattered. I'm just going to tell you the truth. So, you know, like I said, you figure out how to weed out those ones that come on with the intelligent jargon and all of their credentials. And, you know, we're doing this and we're able to do that. And we got a whole lot of people doing that. Most of the time, that's just not the case.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Most
well,
of the time, really not the case. So
I'm sure. I'm sure. And I bet my life on it that the Almighty will make everything happen the way he says it's going to happen. And those that'll be involved will be the ones that it'll be that remnant. You understand? I had mentioned to you, I think it was last week when I said, a brother said about 10%. I got with him and he was just making he was just saying how small the remnant is going to be. You understand? He wasn't actually putting no percentage or 10%. He was just giving us an idea as to how big the remnant is going to be. It's going to be a small remnant. I think in Ezekiel it said that they're going to take this plate and turn it upside down. What's left on the plate is going to be the remnant.
I mean, really. I mean, you know, when you really understand it, really. I mean, you know, so it's really serious in understanding, you know, the importance of being very careful in who you allow to talk, what you allow them to say, the audience that they talk in. Because a lot of people, you know, a lot of people call this show just to have an audience. And my thing is, you know, we're trying to do positive things and move in a positive direction. And if you want a challenge or you want to call to have a confrontation, get your own show. And then you can fuss all day long. But this show is dedicated toward building a nation. We are trying our best to be obedient to the word of Yah and build a nation. Now, if you don't feel like you're a part of that nation, don't worry about it. You have our express opinion and authority to tell you to go on and stay where you are and be happy with what you're doing. If you feel like that this republic, the Republic of America, this corporate America is going to last forever, then what we suggest you to do is get comfortable and to put all your supportive efforts in that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, for those who believe that we are of the transatlantic slave trade, we are of the children of the diaspora, and we are toward nation building. Whether or not you're Messianic or non-Messianic is irrelevant. We are trying to gather our people and give them their ethnic history so that we can prepare ourselves, because our prison sentence is almost over. And it's time for us to gather our people so that we can be prepared when the Most High gets ready to take us home. We know that no one man is going to have the authority to move us. It's too many of us coming from all over the world. That's going to take a supernatural event to take place. That's going to be aided with people that are obedient to do what he said that needs to be done. But for everybody else who don't agree with it, then just don't be on it.
That is correct. Just don't stand in the way.
That's right. Move out the way. And we will fuss and we'll still love you and we'll wave at you from the by and by when the time comes for us to leave. And you can stay here and watch the demise of what's going to happen, because the word, one thing about that word, it will not come back void.
Yeah.
It won't.
You know, I was going to say they shouldn't act like Korah or Nathan and but see, Nathan and
Abiram,
huh?
I said whether they read it from a historical standpoint or from a spiritual standpoint, that word is not going to come back void. So for all of those who choose not to believe it, don't believe it.
That is correct. That is truly correct.
We're not going to be a other, but if you're hungry and it get bad, we'll still feed you. We're trying to set up emergency stations and food stations where we'll have enough stuff stored up where we can at least feed us for a little while.
That is correct. You know, that is part of what my program is supposed to do. It's supposed to give the people a chance to find out about how they could cultivate groceries, you understand? And they maybe become entrepreneurs in doing that, you understand? We're going to need people that come out there and work them fields, you understand, and get paid, you understand, for working those fields and so that we could set up a food industry, You understand? Have our own canned goods on the shelves.
Absolutely. Or at least know how to physically sustain yourself in the event of a natural disaster.
That is correct.
A spiritual disaster or any other disaster that may take place. We are not terrorists. We're not trying to harm nobody, hurt nobody. We're not trying to interfere in the government where we're living, in the land where we are. We still honor the laws of the land as long as they don't interfere with the Oz law. But we have a mandate to gather ourselves together as a nation. And that's what we're trying to do.
That is correct. It was ordained by the Almighty that we gather ourselves. That's a commandment. That's not no willy nilly thing that he said in Scripture. You understand? They might be mentioning a lot of stuff, but one thing we know, we have to adhere to the commandments that we know we can do. You understand? We can gather ourselves. We may not be able to bring up no offerings, but we know that the Shabbat day, you understand, is forever in all generations. You understand? That's things that we know that we can do. You understand? So we must do those for sure.
Absolutely. So, you know, these are the things that we're doing. We have done an extensive marketing campaign to those Hebrew Israelites that are conscious. We have done everything in our power to try to bring those together that have already formed together as a Knesset or a camp or whatever we need to do. And now the Most High is opening up the doors for us to move into other arenas and to meet other people that are able to help us financially. And they're willing to put some help with, some work with what we need to have done. And we're just going to move in those arenas. And you're rewarded. He rewards those who diligently seek him. And, you know, we've been diligent with what we've been doing and trying to be obedient to what he's commanded us to do. And now it's time to take it to another level, and we won't be. I told you a couple of shows ago, we're done with the pom-poms. We put them up. We hung them in the closet. There ain't going to be no more. Come on, everybody. Let's just come together. No, it's over. Now we're moving in a different arena, so our conversations are going to change, and we're still going to deal with issues of our nation. But the background stuff that goes on in the background, the people on the air as a whole won't know about it, but you'll find out about it when all hell breaks loose, because you'll know, because it'll be chatter and it'll be word of mouth. Well, you know, you can go over to the Nation of Yehuda, or you can go over to the United Nation of Israel, because they have certain things in place for you already. And that's what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Yeah.
And when the prisoners get out of jail, they're going to have somewhere to come.
That is correct. Exactly. You understand? You know, it just won't be rhetoric. They just won't be hearing us beat up our gums. You understand? We got something for you when you get out. You understand?
Absolutely. That's what we're trying to put together. You know, to get them educated. We need to put together a campaign to go back into the prison and begin to teach them about who they are. And that's something that we can set up now, Adonia, before we even get the money together to bring them out. We need to go in while they're sitting still and begin to teach them about who they are and what they're doing and where we are in this movement, and to keep it moving. I mean, because while we got them sitting still, that's the best time to teach them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You understand? While they're right there, and so that, you understand, see, at least they got to hear it whether they want to or not. You understand? That might be their only form of entertainment. You understand? But we'll be able to give it to them. You're absolutely right. That can be set up. I got some brothers and sisters. I got a brother that told me that if we wanted him to speak at the penitentiaries, he will do that. I think it was Ruba Bell told me that. You understand that he would be willing to go in there and talk to the brothers and sisters, you understand, regarding who we are. You understand, that can be set up. That should be set up. You understand, so that when they get down to that 1 year time period and they getting ready to come out of the place, we have something set up for them, man. We should have something set up for them, you understand, so that they can learn how to cultivate the land, learn how to build a house from the ground up, You understand what I'm saying? And it don't take no whole lot of education either. You understand? See, what happened is we did all of that stuff for nothing. You understand? It didn't have no education. And then they turned it around so that now you have to buy into it. You understand? You have to buy into a plan to learn how to be a carpenter or a plumber or electrician. You understand? If you don't have that paperwork, you can't be that. That's what they say now.
That's right.
And it's not necessary, man. You understand? You know, I used to be a maintenance man for about 8-10 years. I never had the paperwork to fix no air conditioning. You understand? I watched that white boy that I was working with, you understand? And I let him tell me this and tell me that, you understand? Before I knew it, man, I was doing them air conditioners by myself. So on-the-job training means a great deal.
Absolutely. We have Eric 314. We'll try to see if what this is about, and we will. And I'm going to warn you now. If this is the brother that's arguing with me on the chat line, I'm going to disconnect your call.
Okay.
Thank you for calling Eric 314. You're on the air. Hello?
I said, Brother Adonai, I agree with you.
That's the brother that's been arguing with me on the air. So we're going to move on, Brother Adonai. Let's move on. Anyway, you're absolutely right, and, you know, we have got to keep functioning and moving toward building, and like you said, we've been arguing and begging for people to come on the line who join the Chamber of Commerce who have skills and stuff and that are able to do stuff, and if the regular people won't do it, then guess what's going to happen? It's going to be those guys that come out of prison that's looking for jobs that we would be able to use because they already got the education.
Okay. All right. That's what I'm talking about.
Because, you know, we got to be able to give our people resources and money. And, you know, if you need a plumber to come into your house and clean and do your plumbing, you don't know if you call Joe's Plumbing Company, you can't trust them no more than you can trust the other guy.
That is correct. You're absolutely right.
So we got to be able to give them some jobs, to be able to give them some opportunity to be able to do what they need to do. We have enough dollars among ourselves to sustain ourselves. We just got to stop giving it to the other people and support people that are in our own communities that do things like that. We have to.
That is correct. You understand? If we don't make no moves, you understand, we might as well bend over backwards and kiss our butt goodbye.
That's right.
You know, because we're going to be bleached out before long. You understand? They marrying into the nation that kept us captive.
Isn't that crazy? Trying to escape the curse. And you know what's sad about it? And I'm glad you brought that up. Trying to escape the curse. And the sad thing is they say is, y'all black women don't know how to act. That's why we go get the white women. And I look at them like, are you serious? Because all of us are distorted. All of us are. We all under the same curse. And that same spirit that the black woman has that you claim you can't deal with is a part of the curse that the Most High gave us. So you mean to tell me you're going to try to escape the curse and then put us down at the same time while you still under the same curse? That don't even make sense.
That is correct. You understand? They're not gonna get it. You know what, Sister Yaina, it's going to take the Almighty. It's going to take an act of, you know, you've ever heard that expression, it's going to take an act of God. It's going to take an act of, it's going to take an act of the Almighty for these people to understand anything. You understand what I'm saying? The Almighty got to step in. You understand?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for those that understand and that are willing to work, you understand, let us get our stuff in gear. But for other folks, man, you understand what I'm saying, they ain't going to get it. They're not going to get it. You understand? And they're going to be, and when the curse, when the Almighty start bringing that curse start acting on that, on his jealousy and his anger, they're going to get
That's
the
right.
same punishment.
Really? They're going to say about it. No, when he takes away the attractiveness of the women of the other nation, and you really understand, then you're going to really wish you hadn't done that. You just going to really wish. I know some brothers I talk to right now that say, I just really wish I hadn't done that. Once I came into the knowledge of who I was. I just really wish I hadn't have done that.
That is correct. You understand? That's going to be, you know.
It's not a hatred thing. And please don't misunderstand me, because I'm not a person that deals in hate. It's a mandate that we were given not to do that. And a lot of people do it because they feel like, because we're in this culture and everything about this culture is in direct defiance against Yah, that everything we're doing that they're promoting as okay to do, it goes against Yah's commandments and his laws, that you're going to turn around and wish you hadn't done that.
That is correct. It's a sad thing, man. You know, it brings tears to my eyes to know how we treat one another, and then it's tears to my eyes to know that the Almighty, you understand, is with us, and he's given us some hope, you understand? So where I'm at is that on one hand I want to cry, and on the other hand I want to cry. It hurts me to see us like this, boy. You understand? It hurts me to see. I was at the drugstore, and I came out the drugstore and I seen this brother, dark skinned brother, with a white woman and his baby. You understand what I'm saying? Who was the baby was almost, it was a real high brown skinned child. And I could see us being bleached out like that. You understand what I'm saying? How we bleaching ourselves out. You understand what I'm saying? And, you know, and see, that's, you know, I just don't understand how we can keep, you know, the word been out there for a long time, man, how we've been in captivity by these peoples. And then we turn around and want to force ourselves to marry into those. They don't have to do that. We don't have to do that.
No.
But we're doing it. And it's really, really, you know, it makes you want to cry.
They say it's okay. They say it's okay because it's love. And you can love whoever you want to love. Now, you can love who you want to love. It don't matter what gender you are. Long as you love, and love is love. It don't matter whether two men love
each other. Yaina, is that they got the whole thing is that you can love who you want to love. You understand? Love don't have no color barrier. You understand what I'm saying? No, love don't. You can love your brother. You understand? A brother could love another brother. You understand? They saying that you know, it's all right to do that. You understand? You know, so, for man to have another man as his lover, you understand? That, ain't that sick? Ain't that, I mean, how is that going to work? I mean, how does that work?
Let me say this, and I'm gonna say this, and I hope I don't get in trouble with this, but I'm gonna say this. We've had 44 presidents in the United States of America.
Okay.
President Barack Obama is the 44th president that we've had in the United States of America, not counting the black man that was president before the states were united. We're not even gonna deal with the ones that were president before the states were united, but when the states became united, according to our history books, we've had 44. Now, as much as nobody liked Bush, he never messed with it. As much as everybody loved Clinton and claimed he was our black president, he never messed with it. But guess what? Barack Obama, the first black man of color that's ever been in the office of the United States of America, is the only president that has been bold enough to change the dynamic of the male and female of the marriage, defining marriage and making same-sex lovers okay. You know what this gonna mean? It means that he has signed away America, and the Most High is on his way. He is coming to take care of this like he took care of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it don't matter who you listen listening, and we ain't got nothing to say about it. You can love who you want to love. You can lick on who you want to lick on. And you can kiss up who you want to kiss up. But the Most High is coming because nobody has a right to mess with that male and female dynamic, because that goes all the way down to the plant life. Everything is male and female. And he's the only man in the presidency that's been bold enough to change that. And because he did that, he just initiated the plan for the Most High to come here. He's getting ready to come here and destroy this place, I'm telling you.
That is correct. You understand? He's signed the agreement that the Almighty is all right for the Almighty to come and destroy this place now.
You don't mess with the male and female dynamic. You just don't do that. And no other president would do that. And he went in office, and he did it. First one that done did it. It's going down in the history book that he was the one that did it. He really ought to be scared.
I know that's right.
You don't mess with that male-female thing at all.
I know that's right. You understand? Ooh, that's... And that's just... I mean, it's just nasty. I'm talking about that is nasty.
Oh, my goodness. And like I said, every law that we have in this captivity goes in direct conflict with the laws of the Most High. And that's why we have to come together as a nation, so that our children can be taught the difference between it. Because just because there's a law don't mean the Most High ain't coming.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. You understand? I'm telling you. You understand? Ooh. You understand? And
you mess with the dynamic of the male-female. That's some serious stuff right there. And like I said, I'm not an advocate one way or the other, because you can do whatever you want to do. You won't get in trouble with what you do. We're just not able to just do what we want to do just because it feels good, because it's okay. But because of the captivity that we're living in, and because of the land that we're living in, and the people that are in control, they don't serve Yah. That's why I get so mad at Christians, because Christians don't realize you're not serving the Most High. That's not what you're doing. It's complete and complete direct defiance of the law and everything. There's no, they even let it go on in the church.
That is correct. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse. You understand what I'm saying? They, they doing it, man, because some of them homosexuals can sing. And so they're in the choir there. You understand? And as long as they can sing and in the choir, they're recognized. More so than anybody else. You know, it's just a mental case, man. I'm talking about, and the Almighty's going to destroy this whole place. I'm talking about.
And like I said, we're not against, if you want to be gay, you can be whatever you want to be. I don't believe in gay bashing. I don't believe in talking about people because they choose to do what they do. Just realize that we as a nation are not permitted to live like that. We are not permitted for our children to even participate in anything directly associated with that. We are not permitted to do those things, so we have to speak up as it pertains to our nation. That's why we're nation building, to be able to give our children an alternative, because that's not acceptable. Just because you pass it as a law doesn't mean it's acceptable with our law.
You know what the law, you know what they,
law.
Yeah, they say that, you know, that the Old Testament is no longer, then that we're not under those laws anymore. So consequently, you understand, it's going to, some new laws have to be in place. So what they did was, if them laws is not relevant from the Old Testament anymore, then the new laws is got to have contrary stuff that ain't that does not apply to the laws of the statutes, you know, laws, statutes of the Old Testament. You understand? So they under new laws now. The that's not relevant anymore. Those laws, not, you know. You understand? I've heard that so many times. You understand that we're not supposed to, you know, we're not under those laws anymore. You understand what I'm saying? And that's not true. You understand? The Almighty didn't change. He made when he put the Ten Commandments, and the statutes and the ordinances in place. You understand? Those were supposed to be forever. He made a decree which shall not be transgressed. And when I say not transgressed, that means that they gonna say different stuff all the time. They gonna spin it any kind of way that they want to spin it. But them laws is gonna remain. They're going to be in place. You understand what I'm saying? Because they are relevant to the natural order of things. You understand? When you water the grass grows. You understand? That's a natural order of things. So when you go contrary to that, you understand what I'm saying? It has its defects. You understand?
Exactly.
It breaks the balance.
But guess what? You know why it's not a problem? Let me tell you why it's not a problem. And what you said is true, but it's not a problem. You know why it's not a problem? Because those laws were given to us to govern us, the Hebrew Israelite nation, as a people.
But not necessarily so, you understand? It was supposed to have been to govern the whole earth. You understand?
I agree with you, but I'm saying when we first got those laws were initially given to us. So don't think it's strange when you're in a strange land among strange people, the heathen nations that don't follow Yah's law to do that thing that is contrary to his law. So we can't expect them to act any different than they do. We just have to offer an alternative for our children to be able to educate our children to let them know that just because they teach this and they say this, there is a divine law that supersedes this law, and it was given to us by our divine father. So our responsibility is not to spend time wondering why they don't get it. They're not supposed to get it. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're not supposed to understand. It's just when we see our own people, one, who don't know who they are, assimilate into this culture and think it's going to be okay in spite of what they read, that's the dangerous part right there.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Tumshi, you're right. You're absolutely right. I agree.
Expect heathens to respect Yah's law and to follow Yah's law. They don't do it. That's not what they do. They do what they want to do. So unfortunately, we're in a land, a heathenistic land, of people that pass heathenistic laws to be able to satisfy their heathenistic sensations. And unfortunately, we are surrounded by that, and we have to be able to combat. That's the whole purpose of nation building, is to create a nation where we can step back and say, no, we don't do that over here.
That is correct. The adversary, that's what...
We're not going to beat you up, and we're not going to bash you, and we're not going to be mean to you, and we're not even going to preach to you, but we don't do it over here.
That is correct. See, you are absolutely right. The adversary has set this up. You understand? The adversary of the Almighty, and the adversary, you understand, has laws that's not going to be, that's going to be contrary to the Almighty's laws. You're absolutely right. I beg your
pardon.
Yes, they're.
Oh, they're definitely contrary. They go against everything he stands for. Everything we do goes against everything he stands for. Right down to Christianity and all of the other religions. Everything, even if contrary to what Yah gave us as a people to follow by. We got a blueprint. It came right down the back channels of the mountain of Mount Sinai. Moshe walked down the mountain with those blueprints and said, this is how he wants you to govern yourself because you are his people, specifically chosen for himself, and this is what he wants you to do and follow these laws right here. We got that first before anybody else got it. Now, everybody, it would have been wonderful for the whole world to come in and follow the law, but that was given specifically to us. Now, unfortunately, we're not in our own land, so we cannot try to force everybody else to follow our law.
That's correct. You're right. You're absolutely.
We're in this heathenistic land that's full of pagan worship because Christmas is pagan, and you go by any Christmas, any church, you see today they got that big old Christmas tree sitting in the church with all the ornaments on it, and they walk right past Jeremiah chapter 10 and act like that verse don't exist.
Mm-hmm. You are absolutely right.
And they shouting and they speaking in tongues and they playing music and they running and they claim they serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm here to tell you today that's the biggest lie that they've ever submitted over that pulpit. You're not serving Yah doing those things.
Okay.
Those are the things that we know we can, those are the identifying markers that we can look at. When we look at how this whole society is built, from the religious to the economic to the social to the educational, we can break down the markers and pinpoint the markers and say, that's not what we was told to do as a nation. He told us to do this. We're not supposed to do that either, because we're not supposed to do those type of things because he told us not to do that kind of stuff. So the purpose of building a nation is to be able to give our children sustenance and knowledge so that they'll be able to tell the difference between the two. And if nobody speaks up and nobody can tell the difference between the two, guess what? They'll think it's okay to do it.
That is correct. You are absolutely right. That's why we got to stay where we at. You understand? By constantly speaking on the truth, because the truth is absolute, positive. There is no gray area. Yeah.
That's why we don't go around beating up white people because we was in slavery and they did. The Most High never told us to do that. We don't go around bashing people that are gay that want to be with same sex. You can do whatever you want to do, but know for an assurity that if you are Israel and you're doing those things, there is a price to pay for Israel living like that. Because the heathen, when President Obama signed that act into law, that was the ignition switch. He turned the ignition switch for the demise of this nation. I'm telling you what I'm talking about. Oh, my goodness. Y'all better know what's getting ready. Come down the pipe. I got to take a deep breath.
If there was any kind of way that this place could have been saved, you understand, he just sealed it.
He set it in motion. It's ironic because it's coming right around the time of the 400-year prophecy.
That is correct. That's so ironic, ain't it?
Yes,
you understand how that stuff is playing right into the hands of the Almighty.
Yes, sir. All the things working together. His word is not going to come back void. And I'm telling you, I'm going to tell every pastor, every prophet that's out there prophesying in the Christian community, you are committing treason. You are not a part of our government. You are not a part of our nation. And you need to quit preaching from the standpoint that you know our God and that you know our laws and that you know our nation, because you are committing treason.
That is correct. You understand? If the Almighty was gonna save this place, President Obama just condemned it. You understand?
He turned the ignition switch on. It's on, and the time, the clock is ticking, baby. It's almost. It's getting ready to go up.
Yeah, it's so sick.
Man, listen. Woo! Israelite that's conscious better get it together, and the ones that's unconscious, we better preach and cry loud and spare not, because he is not going to let this go. We got Hebrew Israelite men sucking and kissing on each other.
Yeah, he was this brother that came on the line when we first started. He's talking about how some of us like that. You know, something that he said, you understand that sodomy, you understand, is punishable by death. You understand? He was saying that some of us, you know, like that. You understand? But that's punishable by death, man. You understand? So, you know, I mean, is he one of those that like that, and he called himself Israel? I think he mentioned that he was an Israelite, too.
That's what I'm saying. You know, when you understand it, it's almost like the Most High said, if you've ever tasted of it, kill him. because they can't get away from the
system. That is correct. You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. That's punishable by death. You understand?
That's our law, though. The devil's given unto us, and we're not in our own land. So in the meantime, we try to keep our own law. But some things we just don't do. We just don't do them. I'm not going to do them. And like I said, I had a license to marry. I'll give it back because I'm not marrying two men. I'm not going to marry two men or two women.
Well, I hope you don't have to be confronted with that, because that is, that's just nasty, man. I'm talking about that.
I won't do it, but you know what? It's a whole lot of stuff. Like I said, look at the Christmas tree. So many people done said to me, Merry Christmas. I said, I don't celebrate Christmas. Oh, for real? Well, why not? Because it's a pagan holiday. And I'm so tired of all y'all born-again pagans walking around hollering that y'all believing in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, you don't. You don't believe in him. You're not teaching about him, and you need to stop and just call it like it is.
There's no way that you're
going to be working, worshiping pagan nothing.
Yeah, see, you can't say on one hand that you believe in Yah, and then, that's somewhere, where's that written at? That's written somewhere, I think it's in Zephaniah, you understand, where he says that you call on the Almighty, and then you holler from the rooftops about the other paganistic, not just paganistic, but the other Baals and all of those gods. You understand? He said he's going to take away all of that, man. He's going to take away the snares.
That's what burns me up about Israel, because Israel wants to segregate themselves because Messianics believe in Yahweh Shai. They don't. And I'm not going to give my money to nobody that believe in pagan God. Everything you do is being supported by a pagan God. Everything you, from down to your Social Security check, everything you get, every store you shop in, they worship in pagan gods. And one day I'm going to do a show and we're going to break it all down so you know that we're in a paganistic society.
Even the money man got little symbols and everything about those about the Rothschilds and all of that stuff, and you might want to take a look at those things too.
And if you're gonna work with some information and make a comment, please have your information correct. But I said, we have to separate ourselves from the way that the heathenistic nations live. If y'all want to live like that, that's fine. I remember I was reading the other day in Leviticus chapter 11 where it was talking about the dietary law, and it amazed me because the Most High told you don't eat an animal that has died unto itself. Don't even touch it. He said, but you can give it to the heathen.
Yeah. It does say that.
There's a separation between us and them.
Yeah.
There's a clear separation between us and them, and we're living in their society, and we're living under their law, so they're doing what they normally do. They have no laws to govern their actions. They do whatever they feel like doing. Two men can be married, husband and wife. Two women can be husband and wife. But over here, we don't do that over here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, sir.
Like I said, the laws and statutes and ordinances and commandments by the Almighty, they're absolute. They don't have no loopholes. You understand? They're positive. It's set up so that it has the outcomes of those understandings, that law and that statutes. You understand? It's beneficial. You understand? Even though it says maybe you might be you can be stoned or killed because of that act, you understand, is so that Israel will no longer have evil amongst them. You understand? Right. So the laws have its positive actions to it. You understand? It's not just the law itself, but the outcome of the law itself has a positiveness.
That's right, absolutely. So, those are the reasons why we separate ourselves. Those are the reasons why we educate our children We're putting a lot of things together. We're starting our own school in a minute where it's going to be free. All you got to do is sign up, download the program on your computer. You'll be able to see the screen that we see, and we're getting ready to teach during the week because I have a whole lot of people that contact me that are in different states and say, I'm new, I'm coming into this thing, I don't have a connector anywhere to go, I need to be able to connect with somebody and learn. We're doing a lot of positive things because, like you said, we have to give our nation hope. We have to give them back their Elohim because he told them, I am the Lord, I am your, he said, I am the Lord God, God of Israel and none else. He said, I don't belong to no other nation, and I'm not a part of no other nation. He said, I preserve you specifically for myself. You are a private, set-apart people for me. Whether or not you all accept it or not, or it sounds prejudicial or separated, it doesn't matter. He said it, we didn't. He chose us to be his own people. And we got to start acting like it. We got to start polishing up ourselves because we are royalty. We got to come out of this system and stop letting the system dictate to us how we should live and how we should act. And we got to start acting like the people who we are. And that's something that nobody can take from you.
Yep, that is correct.
That's just nobody.
So, Yaina, give me a call back later on this evening, man. I wanted to find out something I wanted to ask you.
I'm going to call you after the show, but I just wanted to tell everybody thank you so much. We're not going to keep you anymore. We've been on here for quite a while. To the brother that called in today, I met you. You know how I met you. I won't even say that over the air, but I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you listening. We need all the help we can get, and I'd like it if you could possibly get some of the people that you know to be a part of the show next week. I'm going to contact you, and I do have your phone number per your request. I did keep your phone number, and I will be calling you to let you know. And we would love to have some of those people that we talked about when you and I discussed to be on the show. They don't even have to say anything, but just listen. But we would love to be able to have those people on the show. We need silent contributors, people that would be willing to put some money toward what we're doing and help us to get this thing done. We won't tell who it came from or who gave it to us or how we got it, but we need as many people as we can to help us in this endeavor, and we appreciate, like I said, I really do want you to mentor me and Adonijah for this show so we can take this show international. We're going to stay right here on Blog Talk, but we're going to market this thing and move this thing into an international level so that we can have people from all over the world listening, because this is how you get the word out. And again, we want to say thank you, Brother Donnie. Are you have any last words? Hey, oh, you know what I wanted to say before we go?
There was
a newscast. I think it was all over the news where the white lady got on the news and told the black people, stop telling y'all's kids that Santa Claus is black. Did you see that? Santa Claus is not black. He is white. And I remember when I was coming up, when I was a young mother, I was in a department store. And this lady from another nation asked me, she says, well, have you told her, are you and your kids ready for Christmas and Santa is coming? And I remember I was sitting there checking out at the line, and I looked at that lady in her eyes, and I said, ma'am, I don't lie to my children. I don't tell them that Santa exists, because Santa is nothing but Satan turned around backwards. If you take the whole letter of Santa, that is Satan rewritten from another standpoint. And you're absolutely right, whoever she is, Santa is a white man, and you all came up with it. And if I was, when I was buying my kids toys on that particular pagan holiday, I was going to be the one to get the credit from that. I was not going to give a white man coming through a chimney that we didn't have in a red suit with a big white beard the credit for me working hard every day. So I let the lady know I do not lie to my children. My children knew from a very young age that there was no such thing. We didn't believe in the fairy godmother. We didn't believe in Halloween. You wasn't going to dress my kids up as no monsters, as no fairies, and with no plastic mask on their face and parade them through the street. We didn't do those kind of things. Even when I was in Israel, I did not allow my children to be taken through that and paraded like that. So, no, we didn't. And then she went as far as to say, and Jesus Christ is white, too. And I want you to tell him you are absolutely right. Jesus Christ is that white man that you all manufactured on that wall with that brown hair and them blue eyes. So you are absolutely right. And for all the Knessets that are messianic, that are still using that name, shame on you. And that's all I got to say on that note, because I know we got some non-messianics on the line. But we'll have a chance to talk. So for everybody that's getting mad at her, she is absolutely right. Everything she said was right.
Well, you know what? I never had the opportunity to be a part of that Christian thing. We was poor. So anything that we got, I knew that my mother and my father had sweated hard over that stove where my father used to work, you understand? And he made it possible for us to have a little bit of, we did call it Christmas now, don't get me wrong, you understand? But we did not have no white man in our thing. We knew that there wasn't no Santa Claus because my father, man, worked. We was
poor. You know, it's faking because they lying and they still perpetuating the lie. All on the TV, is all over the radio, they all at the grocery store, they lying.
Yeah, that lady said that Santa Claus is white and Jesus is white. I said, oh, my God, I had to cut that off. I said, Lord, have mercy, boy. You know, see, I got to get away from these. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely right. And if anybody want to challenge me, bring it on. I guarantee, I promise you to come see me. Bring it on, because she told the truth. But all of it is manufactured and made up. She is absolutely right.
None of my children know anything about any Christian stuff, because all of them was born in Israel. You understand? Not in the physical place, but they was born under Israelite understanding, and so they don't know anything about no Christmas. I mean, other than what they know, what they've learned, you know, since they've grown up. You understand? But they never had we never had no Christmas trees or no. We had a menorah sitting out there at the window, you understand, because that's we observed that. But we didn't have no lights all out and all over the door and all of that stuff, man. We didn't even, you know, I was an Israelite, you understand, and I was straight Israelites, and I was with some brothers who were straight Israelites. So, you know, you understand, but, you know, it's all getting turned around. You know, one thing that I'm finding out, too, is that That holiday, this holiday that's coming up here that they call Christmas, you understand, is not so popular as it used to be.
Because people waking up. They waking up. Everybody
yeah, they said they say we got to bring back the name the Christian we got to bring back Christmas. You understand? They talking about bringing it back. Next year it's gonna even be less. You understand?
Oh,
because people ain't going for that nonsense no more, man. You understand what I'm saying? And I've always been of this mindset. If you did what you're supposed to do during the year, you ain't got to set aside no holiday. You understand? You understand? You know, to bring your kids all up on that particular day. You understand? That's a falsism. And, you know, you understand? Stop being so false.
Oh, we're there. And guess what? And the bad part about it is the church got trees. The church that claimed they serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have completely stepped over Jeremiah chapter 10 and put a tree in the church, then chopped it down and nailed it to a stand and put ornaments on it, right what Jeremiah told them not to do, and they claim they're serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you committing treason because you are not doing that. You are not from our kingdom, and you are not from our nation. You have switched sides, and you might as well go ahead and defect over into that other heathen nation and stop putting our God's name on it, because that's a lie. We don't live like that. We don't do those type of things.
Yep, that is correct. They just put a nail in their own coffin when they do that. You understand? When they go contrary to the Almighty, man, you just nail your own coffin. Now, you know that the Almighty said that he was going to destroy this place, that we will never only way we're going to remember this because our forefathers are going to tell us. I mean, we're going to tell our grandchildren what had happened, and we're going to look this nation and throw our hands up at it and wave it off. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's not going to be no evidence of this place, period. You understand? And that means that all of those nations that took up the American way, they going just as fast, the same way. You understand? So, you know, it's just a matter of time. You understand what I'm saying? We ain't got, and it ain't too much time left. You understand?
Turned the ignition switch when he signed that bill. In other words, when he signed that bill into law, it's over.
That is correct. That is correct. You understand? It's going to be like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. You can't find Sodom and Gomorrah anymore. You understand? Okay. Matter of fact, they had some archaeological people looking for the remnants of the Sodom and Gomorrah, and they can't find none.
Can't find none. Like I said, we got a job to do, and we're doing it right here on this radio show. We doing it, even though you think that we got maybe 14, 15 people on this line. This radio show gets faxed out to hundreds and thousands of people every week. So we're not just worried about the people that are listening on this line. And for the ones that's listening, pass the word. We'll send it to you. We'll email it to you so you can email it out. But we got to stop playing. This is no time to play. Like you said, it's getting drabbier and drabbier. This Christmas spirit is getting drabbier and drabbier and drabbier because people don't have the money to do it. People have actually killed themselves and committed suicide because they didn't have nobody to spend the holidays with. All of this stuff is fake.
That is correct. That is positively correct. You understand? That is so phony. You understand what I'm saying? We got to stop being phony. You understand? And start. Let's look for a more positive way to do things. And the only positive way that I know, you understand, is that we come back to the Almighty and start observing His understanding and what He has left on record for us to observe. You understand? Because anything else, man, we gonna perish in that. You understand?
It sure is. They done bought into it, and it's like, no. I know my cousin laughed and told me, he said, when y'all get ready to leave, y'all just give me a Cadillac. I'll be all right. I ain't going nowhere with y'all. I said, well, if you stay here, you're going to be destroyed with everybody else. So I suggest however we make it or wherever we go, you be with the group. Because I sure wouldn't want to stay behind and see this place go up because it's going to go up.
That is correct. You know,
you change the male-female dynamic of things. Do you know nobody has ever messed with that? No president has ever been bold enough to change the dynamic of the male and female union of the marriage, and it took the first black man of color to come into the office of the presidency to sign that law, that bill into law. It's crucial.
Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-mm-mm. You understand? He put a nail in the coffin.
You understand?
You understand? Ooh, woo. You understand? Like I said, I'm proud and I'm so happy to know myself. You understand? And to give my children an opportunity. You understand? To be a part of this thing. You understand what I'm saying? Because I sure hope they don't never go back to and start observing the ways of this nation here. You understand? Because if they do, they're going to perish. You understand? And as much as I love my niece, I got a niece in New York. You understand what I'm saying? They stuck on stupid, boy, I'm telling you. And there's nothing that I could tell them to make them to change. You understand? But I believe that if we show them, it may make a difference.
There you go. That's the key. Now, that will make a difference. That's the key because people are followers. And like you said, we've been made to do these things. We were made to keep these holidays. We were taught from a little kid that Easter was a holiday and 4th of July was a holiday and Christmas was a holiday and Thanksgiving was a holiday. All of this was to fuel the economy, to boost capitalism, to build corporate America up. It's commercialism escalated times 1,000. And then they put certain religious connotations on it to draw the church in. And then they recruited them in to start promoting the stuff. So then, you know, when Easter came around, we all had to have new Easter clothes enough to go to church. That fueled the garments segment in the fashion industry. All of this is just corporate business that we're doing. And we don't realize it, and we just totally disregard the holy days. So, again, like I said, we have to bring back the integrity, the honesty, and the commitment to being labeled, to being identified as to who we are, because being labeled something and being identified as to who you are is two different things. And like I said, the desire to know is stronger than the desire to be fooled. People don't care about being fooled. If everybody else is doing it, they do it. And that's what they mean when they say you led astray, because you're just being led astray. But it's time to know.
That is correct. You know, see, it's funny how you mentioned that Easter thing, man. You know, I told you that we were poor. We didn't have anything, man, you understand? But my mother was, she was an arts and craft major, and she made my first man-tail shirt, you understand? The tailor-made shirt. That I could wear it on Easter so I wouldn't feel so bad.
Boy.
Yeah.
My mother made back then when I was coming up, knickers was in knickers. I don't know whether you know what knickers are. You understand?
Knickers are. I know what they are. Yep, I sure do.
Then my mother made me a suit. Man, I was so proud of that suit. You understand? That my mother made. We couldn't afford no stuff that's from the store, but my mother was very good. She tailor made me a suit. You understand? And I look better than some of them kids that had them suits that they bought from the store. You understand? We could not afford no Easter stuff. You understand? So I went through it, man. See, Easter was set up for me, man, to hurt my feelings.
Well, guess what? Now you don't have to worry about it because you don't even participate in it no more. You look at everybody else and be like, y'all is crazy. For real.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, they create these holidays and then they bring religious connotations into it and they draw the church into it. And then the pastors agree to preach the same thing when they know it's wrong. They know they ain't supposed to have no Christmas tree. They know they're not supposed to do that, but they do it anyway. And then they'll come down on you and chop you up because you call them to the carpet on it. But I'm telling you right now, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it again, you are committing treason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because
that's
our nation don't, our government don't do, we don't do those type of things. We do not commit with other nations in heathenistic practices. We just don't do it.
Yep. I think I have to search those pictures that my mother left, but I think I might still have a picture of me in that knicker, in them knickers.
But when I come to Atlanta, I definitely want to see that picture of you in them knickers in your suit. I really do. But you know what? And on that note, you know what? We better farewell and say goodbye. We got
that's
been listening. Well, you got anything else you want to say, Brother Donnie?
I just want to tell everybody that I love them, man, and I love the Almighty with all my heart and all my soul. You understand? And y'all understand that there's nothing that you can do about it. Hallelujah. And take care of yourself. Give me a call.
This is it for everybody. We're going to say farewell. We love you. Again, to the brother that called in today, thank you so much for your time, your efforts, your energy. I will be calling you back to find out what you thought about the show and to see if there's anything you can do to help us from this point on. And we don't want to say anything negative, but we want to say that we love you and we have hope. And what time is it, Brother Adonia?
It's nation-building time.
Nation-building. Shalom, shalom, everybody. We'll see you next week. Shalom.
The South's favorite mixtape supplier, DJ At Low, is in the building.
Sitting here, guess I didn't make bail. got time and a story to tell. Started when I was 9 years old. Woke up and daddy was gone. I started hustling and they couldn't tell me nothing. Running in the hood trying to be somebody. My soul was on empty. I was searching for something. Tried to be good. Tried to keep from trouble. Living too fast. Trying to make good on a hustle. Sometimes it get rough.
Coming from where I'm from.
Times got hard.
Coming from where I'm from.
Times it got walk to work, yeah.
Coming from where I'm from.
Sometimes you gotta do a little dirt. Wasn't really looking, guess I found it. 5'3", light brown skin. Coming from the university. Nighttime looking kinda lovely. Didn't know she had much game. Down the ride out, even take the train. Even took her to a poker game. Top notch, fried chicken and sushi. Try to be good. Tried to treat you like a lady. Tried to be your friend. Turned out that you were shady. Sometimes I get lonely.
Coming from where I'm from.
Things ain't what they seem to be.
Coming from where I'm from.
Sometimes you get a little angry, yeah.
Lois in the building.
Coming from where I'm from.
I'm glad you got them on.
Coming from where I'm from.
Sometimes you gotta cry a little bit louder.
Coming from where I'm from.
Sometimes you gotta fight the pain, yeah.
Everybody, I hope you enjoyed the song. This is Yaina Yisrael from the Nation of Yehuda, and we want to say that it's nation building time. We're glad that you spent the time with us. We hope you'll be back next week, and we'll see you. We're glad to have you here, and shalom, shalom, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.